You're listening to Vatican Radio. On Sunday, Pope Francis visits All Saints Anglican Church, where he will answer questions from the congregation, bless a newly commissioned icon of Christ the Saviour, and witness a twinning with Rome's Catholic parish dedicated to All Saints. The afternoon visit will take the form of a short evensong service provided over by the Pope and by the Bishop of the Anglican Diocese in Europe, Robert Innes. It's the first time a Pope has visited an Anglican church in Rome, and it comes as part of All Saints 200th anniversary celebrations. As chaplain of All Saints for the past 18 years, Father Jonathan Boardman will be welcoming the Pope to the Central Rome Parish, which began with a group of English worshippers back in October 1816. He talked to me about the origins of the community and about the importance of this historic papal visit.
Well, what I think we have to remember, first of all, is that there hadn't been an English expatriate community in Rome in the period of the Napoleonic Wars. Therefore, it was after the Battle of Waterloo in 1815 and the peace that followed that English visitors came to Rome. In numbers, they'd been here in the late 18th century, but at that point, it was unlikely that they'd have been permitted to worship by the papal government for various historical reasons. But since the papacy had been supported and the Papal States restored partly by British intervention, there was a good deal more tolerance and indeed contentment to permit these foreigners to worship in their own rights.
And this area around the Spanish Steps became known as the English Ghetto, didn't it?
It did indeed, and it was largely because people arrived from the north of Rome at the Porta Flaminia, and they got out their big travelling coaches, and like British people normally do, they didn't go very far. They just stayed where they were and opened their equivalents of fish and chip shops and pubs. But no, obviously slightly different than that. But there became in this area soon an English chemist, two or three English doctors practising. Wasn't long before an English tea room, a few English tea rooms like that of Babington's that remains, appeared. So this area was the obvious place for English worship to be conducted.
And the first service here was conducted by a visiting clergyman, wasn't it?
Yes, it was the Dean of Jersey, who was on holiday in effect, a long holiday, 6 months, possibly for his health. And he was asked by a number of co-religionists, Anglican co-religionists, to lead worship for them on a Sunday. And that was on Sunday, the 27th of October, 1816. And there were four of them. And the following week, there were 20 of them. And the week following that, there were 50 of them. And so soon they had to move out of the apartment where they were worshipping privately and rent accommodation that they could be used for the liturgy.
The church here actually wasn't built until over half a century later, was it?
No, the first church was outside the Flaminian Gate in a converted granary hall, and that was started in 1827. So they worshipped in about five different locations, always in the area of the English ghetto, in different rented apartments until 1827. And then they fixed a chapel in this former granary building, in which they worshipped from 1827 to 1887, at the end of the construction of the present church. And the first Eucharist was celebrated in the present church on Easter Day, 1887.
It's quite a bold move, though, isn't it? Because if we think back to those days, there were no real relations between the Catholic and the Anglican Church. Back when the community started here, the Catholic hierarchy hadn't even been re-established in England and Wales.
No, it indeed hadn't. But we have to remember practical things that were occurring. For example, the pension that George IV gave to Cardinal Henry Stuart after his impoverishment as a result of the Napoleonic occupation. So there were practical agreements, even if the theological ones hadn't quite caught up. The famous comment about whether the Pope would permit these English Anglicans to worship, when asked about it, he said, "What the Pope doesn't know, the Pope doesn't have to approve." So he didn't want to know about it and could overlook it in that way.
So we're talking about a group of probably quite wealthy English people who were living around here at the beginning. Today the congregation has a very different shape to it, doesn't it?
It wasn't uniformly rich and leisured, because of course they brought their servants with them and they worshipped too. So it's quite funny that there would have been a cross-section of British society But it's certainly true that the people, office holders and people who'd have been served on the chaplaincy council would have all been, I suppose, what we'd call toffs. Now that's by no means the case, and the profile of our congregation has changed enormously. And indeed, we have membership of over 20 nationalities, people who naturally are Anglicans where they come from, largely now from the Commonwealth of Nations, and who use generally English in their worship. Though we do have some Francophone Malagas who don't speak English and yet worship with us regularly.
And far from living close around this area, many people come many miles, don't they, to worship here on a Sunday morning?
Yes, indeed. I mean, I would say that we do get regular worshippers, not every Sunday, who will travel as far as Orvieto to be with us.
Would these be mainly individuals, families?
Yes, and increasingly large numbers of children. We've got an extremely good programme for children developed by our assistant chaplain, the Reverend Dana English, who's worked very hard to raise our profile amongst families and children. And that really is a recent strengthening of what we always wanted to do.
This first papal visit, it's the first time that a pope has ever been to an Anglican church here in his own Diocese of Rome. How significant is this for you?
Well, it's very interesting. I've thought long and hard about this. And of course it's special, but in a sense it's special because it should be normal. And that is like so many spiritual things. It's when we find something extraordinary happening and realise that it should be at the root and heart of how we share and within the love of God live our lives. Therefore, I don't think it's that surprising that the Pope's coming after such good relations in Rome of over 50 years. But of course, it's a moment of real crowning of our celebrations of 200 years. We feel immensely honoured. We're full of joy. We know it's going to be a moment very special in our memories and for our future. So, yes, it's something that I think Pope Francis himself has been able to show to so many people around the world. His openness, the way he's a bit of a game changer, that he just treats this as something normal, and of course he'll do it.
You're also going to have some very practical signs, if you like, of this growing cooperation with the Catholic world, in particular through the twinning with a Catholic parish, aren't you?
Yes. Some will remember that there was an official strengthening of the Earcom process last October with the Archbishop of Canterbury and the Pope commissioning pairs of Roman Catholic and Anglican bishops to go back to their dioceses and work together. Well, if you like, what we're doing on this occasion is showing the grassroots level of that with a parish twinning. Here at All Saints, our community is twinning with the parish of Ognissanti on Via Appia Nuova. We've had an excellent relationship with them for over 10 years because we share the same dedication to All Saints, and we're the two churches in Rome that have that, the only two churches, and therefore there was a natural friendship between us. This time we're stabilising that, we're rooting it by doing a formal twinning in front of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope, and the Diocesan Bishop of the Diocese in Europe, Dr. Robert Innes. We're committing ourselves to work together in learning about each other's traditions, sharing worship in as much as we can, growing in friendship, and committing ourselves to working together for the service of the poor.
My thanks to Canon Jonathan Boardman, Chaplain of All Saints Church, Rome.